Jesus had to stay away from his little brothers. This is Dr. Herbert O'Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Jesus had to stay away from his little brothers. How interesting. We never think of Jesus having little brothers or older brothers or family at all, but he did. He was the eldest child. He was the firstborn. And as the firstborn, he was expected to be the guide and the path for all the other children of the family. But because he was such a remarkable young man, all the other children tried to dissuade him into their pathways and their activities, into their normal ways of looking at life and looking at everything. And he tried to be as normal as he could. He went to the rabbi school. He became a rabbi. He was a good student. He did everything reasonably well. He was not a genius student. He just did what he had to do and did it well. He did not make a name for himself in any of the things, because he had an idea in his heart that didn't quite fit in with what all the rest of the world was thinking. He had an idea in his heart that didn't quite fit in to the Jewish philosophy. And in the Hebrew philosophy, they teach the Old Testament, and they taught all about God being a God of wrath, and God coming down upon its people, and God doing all sorts of terrible things to its people, as well as good things, and that you had to keep God on your good side. Well, Jesus had a different point of view. He taught that God was inside of everybody, that God is inside of people, and that people are God, and that each person is responsible to be God and be like that. And you can be sure that his brothers and sisters and his friends who were familiar with the rabbinical teachings were not quite too happy with what he had to say, because what he had to say was contrary to what they had been learning, and it was not really something that they could readily attach themselves to. So what could they do? What the only thing they could do would be to just separate themselves from him. And they went their way, and they played their games, and they did their things, and they let him play his games and go his way and do his thing. So Jesus had to sort of detach himself from his family. His family just were not too aware and too much into what he was into. This happens oftentimes in families. We sometimes think that surely the family of Jesus would all be 100% for him and supportive of him and interested in what he was doing, and his word would be the word of the gospel. His word would be something very important to be listened to and followed. And in many families, we find that if there are five children, each child is as unique as can be. Each child has their own way of looking at things, their own way of thinking about things, their own way of living. And because they have their own way of living, they don't always have an interest in what the others are doing. If they're a year or two apart, they seem to be a century apart. And they go off on their own activities and their own adventures. And the younger boys and the younger girls, of course, always want to be around their elder, their peers, their sisters, and their brothers who are older than they are, and they want to follow them, they want to chase after them. But the older ones don't want them along, because the younger ones still have the family traditional ideas of what is right and what is wrong. And so the older ones were off trying new grounds, they're trying new adventures, they're trying new experiences. And so they just sort of avoided the younger ones. They avoided the younger members of the family. And this is true in most every family. You don't have a family like the Waltons very often, where the family is just so irresponsible to take care of each other and to do for each other and to help each other and teach each other and train each other. In a way, yes, that's true, but not really. Jesus went his own way. And the way that he went was a way that was unique and separate from all the rest. If there were a member of any family who had a peculiarity, who was a little different from the rest of the family would sort of shy away from that person. Now, if that person were a pianist, or a very excellent pianist, the rest of the family would shy away from them because the pianist would be practicing on the piano, and the rest of the family would be doing what they were doing, and how many people could practice on one piano at one time? It's not too easy, and it's not often done. Sometimes it's done. Sometimes it's done where they make teams, and they learn together, and they play together, and they do things together, and they're quite good together. But normally, they go their own way. Normally, they have their own pathway, they have their own pattern, they have their own direction of what is their choice in life. Can you imagine Jesus teaching everyone that they should love their neighbors? They should be kind to everyone. What sort of a person would that make him be? He'd be sort of a schnook with the rest of the kids, because the rest of the kids were probably rough and tumble, and they probably were beat him up and knock him down and win at any cost of the game. To win is the major thing, the most important thing that one could ever do. This was not the teachings of the master teacher. This was not the teachings of Jesus as he grew up. He was living the very things that he one day would be teaching to all the world. And as he lived these things were a true example in his life. He was showing forth in everything he did what he believed and what was important to him. He did not have too much to do with his brothers and sisters, not because he didn't like them, not because he didn't respect and love them, not because of anything, but because he was doing his own thing. And when it came time for him in the temple, and his mother sent one of the children in to say that she wanted to talk to him, and Jesus was teaching in the synagogue at the time, and he said to the people in the synagogue, "Who are my brethren, and who are my mother and my father? Ye who sit and listen to what I have to say, to hear what I have to teach, you are my true family." Now, that was a kind of a tough blow for his mother, because his mother always felt that he was obedient to her will. He was obedient to her request and the request of the family. And now she's finding out that he's obedient to the teaching that he has in his heart. And it seems as though she forgot that he was supposed to have been an immaculately conceived child, and that he was the Christ child, and she knew from the very beginning that he was very special. But he never played that up. He lived it, but he didn't play it up. And so it was easy for his mother to forget this, apparently. You say, how could anyone ever forget that they were the mother of the Christ child? They were the mother of such a beautiful, such a fabulous child. Well, it's quite easy. It's quite easy. Parents of children who are geniuses, parents of children who are special at the piano, who are able to do magical, amazing things with mathematics or any other field that they get involved in, they don't appreciate who their children are, because that's not where they are. Oh, they may make money off of their children who are gifted, and they may make money off of their children who put on concerts and who are good actors and so forth, but the thing is, they don't really appreciate it. They have no recognition that what's going on inside of that child, what's going on inside of that being. You and I have the same thing. We each have grown up in families and in a world in which we were given many responsibilities. We were expected to do many different things. And we did them just a little differently, because anyone who comes at this point in life and arrives at this point in life where they say that all is God and that they are God, anyone who arrives at that point in that position in life is going to be quite different from most of the people in the world. most of everybody really knows that they're the creator of their world, and everybody really knows that it's their actions, their attitudes, and their world that has made them what they are and who they are and how they are. They really know that, but yet we don't know it, because each one of us is a unique individual. Each one of us is so unique that we cannot even recognize how the others are so unlike us. And we say, my goodness, isn't that amazing? Isn't that spectacular how others are going one way and we're going another way? Don't they realize that the things they're doing are going to bring them problems? Oh, we can easily sit back and observe other people and tell them how to live their life better. And then we turn back to ourselves, as Jesus did. And he said, it's done unto me according to my belief. And as he then took responsibility for his belief, he took responsibility for the things that were important to him. He took responsibility for his life as he conceived it to be. And as he took responsibility for it, he found that his life was truly an amazing experience. He found that his life was truly something remarkable. And because of his want to go aside, to be apart from his family, to meditate, to go off into the hills and be by himself, to talk with the divine within himself, to get to know who he was, to really meditate. His family many times did not see him for long periods of time, sometimes days on end. And in those days on end, we are led to believe that he was meditating off in the mountains by himself or off in the desert. And now we come to learn that he was doing even more than that. He was doing travels by his mind, taking himself to all the parts of the world where he wanted to be a sharing example of the things he believed. Yes, he did travel the world. He did travel the world by his mind. He did travel the world by his thought. And he did teach wherever he went, because he was always a living example of what he believed. And his teachings were so gentle and so subtle, so simple and so beautiful. They didn't have dogmatism in it that made others feel that he was trying to push them around. But it made others feel he was hardly teaching at all. For here this beautiful young man who was living what he believed and sharing what he believed and talking about what he believed, not in the bombastic way that the rabbis were doing, not in the bombastic way that the Old Testament taught, but he taught in a totally new pathway, in a totally new direction. And there was no place for his brothers and sisters, because they didn't want to be with this person who was different, with this genius, with this being who touched life just differently from everybody else. And so they ignored him, and he ignored them, and they each went their way, and they each found themselves who they were. Yes, Jesus had brothers and sisters, but he didn't fool around with them. We have brothers and sisters too, but we don't fool around with them. We fool around with people who believe like we do, who think like we do, who have in their mind their dreams, their ideals, as we have. And as we do this, we may find ourselves just a little lonely physiologically or people-wise for a little while, only until we go within to that inner center, that inner circle. And when we go within to our own meditation, we never are lonely again. We are never without friends, without company, without a world that's fabulous. For we are surrounded by the goodness and the beauty and the joy and the wholeness of all that is. And life is so beautiful and so exciting that we never dreamed that the fulfillment of everything is within us. And once we come to that recognition, we'll be like Jesus the Christ. We'll be like the Master Teacher himself. and know that it is done unto us according to our belief. And so then we establish our belief in the most beautiful foundation that we can. And we choose the foundation that Jesus chose, and that foundation was unconditional love. He had unconditional love for himself and for everyone in the universe. And such a love is what he taught the Father God has, the Creator within us, who we are, is love. Pure, beautiful, wonderful love. Not love that pushes people around or tells them they got to believe like you do, but a love that sees everything as beautiful as you are. Interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? Love sees everything as beautiful as you are. That's what I'm going to concentrate on today and every day of my life. Unconditional love that sees everything as beautiful as I am. Have a lovely day. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.